dive now because we're not, we're still not in tune. Why don't just play me, play an A, would you please? I can't hear myself, so that because I'm going on. Okay, how about a, what's that, a D? Am I sharp?
No, I said a little bit louder.
Okay, yeah, I can't.
We'd be able to hear you then, and I ain't been able to hear you.
I can't hear me either, so I don't know if I'm in tune or not, it's the problem. What are you going to play, Billy?
The lady is doing the nail.
Hit him, come on up.
All right, hit it.
Take over.
gosh. What a way to start a morning in a festival. I'd like to welcome you again to the Florida Folklife Festival and our featured area of Florida Folklife that we're taking a very close and fine look at is what's commonly called a quiet industry, which is the forest products industries of the northern part of this state. And what we'll be doing over the course of the day is we're going to be talking with people from northern part of the state, from Jacksonville all the way over to Pensacola, be talking about the various things that people do in order to raise trees. Trees being a crop that takes 30 years to grow rather than 6 months, like a marigold or an ear of corn. And what we'll do now is bring people up over the course of the day to talk with myself and Patricia Sawin, two of us who did field work. Basically, we located people in the area who could tell us about these traditions. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to bring people on to talk about how to prepare and set up the land so it will take the crop of trees. So we'll be back in just a minute. Now, has everybody got their hair properly combed? Because it looks like Mr. Buchanan is still videotaping us. I think what's happening is he's videotaping it so he can go home and listen to it and learn how to manage land, right? Yeah. Okay,
we're going to wait on you.
All right. Either way. But he's got his eyes still in. Okay. When you see a lot of trees in very straight rows around you, the trees didn't grow that way on their own, but they did grow there on purpose. And one thing I learned when I came up to this area to start doing work on learning more about forest industries was it hit me real hard that where I used to live, trees just grew everywhere. Around here, they don't. Trees are a crop. Trees grow, like I said earlier, just takes 30 years instead of 3 to 6 months. But trees just don't sit in the ground and grow. Rather, they're taken care of in order to grow a specific way for a specific purpose. And they're tended to for all of that time. And that kind of attention is called land management. And I'd like to introduce you to Don Lewis, Victor Buckles, I got it right this time, Martin Buchanan, and Tom Maston, all who are involved in various aspects of managing the land in order to create this crop called trees or timber. And what I'd like to do is let's start with Don and find out a little bit just how do you define land management in 25 words or more?
25 words or more. Okay. Well, land management, first of all, is you've already hit upon the basis of it is that you have to first determine what your primary purpose or goal is. And a lot of people might think, well, that's easy, you know. Well, I mean, we just want to grow trees because if they see a lot of the commercial timberlands that are owned by industry whose primary job is to furnish a raw material for their mills, for their products. But there are many other alternatives and many other purposes that these things could be, the forest can be used for. A lot of people are very interested in wildlife concerns. And of course, some people are concerned with aesthetics. You have to also take into consideration soil and water. So it has a lot to do with what your primary objective is, what kind of a product you're ultimately trying to produce, and then land management is simply the cultural practices that you would engage in during the rotation period, and that rotation period from, say, the inception of the forest, be it by planting or natural regeneration through seed tree or some direct seeding, but it's the practices that you would carry on to help bring this to that ultimate goal.
Okay, I've been doing this before, and I'm just going to keep on doing it. I have a stand, some land, and I just got a bunch of scrubbly old trees in it, and I want to start growing trees. What do I have to do to that land in order to make it receptive, I guess, to being a tree crop? Why don't we go down to the end of Tom Maston down at the end?
Well, I think after you've determined your objectives, as Don said, which is the first step to decide exactly what your ultimate goals are, then you can look at any one of several alternative practices. If you're interested in intensive forest management to grow the maximum amount of a forest product, such as pulpwood or small saw timber or various wood products, you might enter into cultural practices such as intensive site preparation using heavy equipment with bulldozers and choppers and mechanical tree planters. If your objectives were more along the lines of wildlife and aesthetics as well as managing for forest products, you might use less intensive practices. Mm. You might use natural regeneration, or you might use some hand planting. So first you determine your objectives, and then you look at the alternatives to achieve those objectives.
So basically you clear the land, you really just clear it.
Well,
Get the stuff out.
You might not clear it if your objectives were not necessarily maximizing forest products, but a combination of aesthetics and wildlife and forest products and water concerns and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You might use less intensive practices.
Okay.
You might use herbicides. That's
mm-hmm.
an alternative.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Fire.
What kinds of fire? I asked somebody about this yesterday. You just walk in with a pack of matches and a hatchet?
You get on fire that way sometimes.
The old days.
Fire is a very useful tool in forest management. But mm-hmm. It's also a tool that you have to take great care in using.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to install proper fire lines and have the ability to control the fire on the land.
Okay, so we got that land. Let's say we've got it ready. We've taken a bulldozer and gone through it and chopped it up and cleared it up. What's the next step, Mr. Buchanan? What do we do then?
Well, I think early on you would establish the species that would go there, and that's the area that I guess I'm most expert in. But early on in your management plan, you would establish the particular species that you want to go in there, whether it be for game food or a combination of aesthetics, game food, or timber production, long-range timber production, short-range, fuel, wood, whatever the objective might be, the species would be established early on. The site then would be planted to that particular species for that particular production.
Mm-hmm. So what does a tree seed look like?
Well, the seed itself is the reproductive organism of the tree. That's a long ways out of the range of the land management for the particular landowner.
Mm-hmm.
I think the consulting forester or the nursery people pretty well have that already handled. I think
mm-hmm.
the best way to address the landowner's need there would be the seedling stage. That would be after it had been planted in the nursery and grown into a usable seedling.
Okay.
Then it would be outplanted. There's vendors available for that particular objective as well.
How big is a seedling? Is it, you know?
Usually around 12 to 15 inches is a typical size seedling,
mm-hmm.
the pine seedling. Some hardwoods reach 24 to 30 inches in size in one growing season.
So basically, when you initially plant those trees, you really can't even see them in some areas.
In some areas, that's correct,
mm-hmm.
particularly if you're hand planting in some rough areas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, how do you plant them? Do you is there a machine that one can use to do that?
Yes, there's several different types of machines that's available today. There's the mechanical planter that we pull behind the tractor is the most typical one, the one that plants the most volume.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we call the slit planter. It has a colder in front and a shoe, and it just opens a trench in the ground,
okay.
and the trees are just placed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Jib Davidson, a consultant forester earlier, wanted to know if you put them in with the roots down or up.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping he would be here to answer that.
Where is Jib?
Roots down or up. Okay, so they're planted. Then what happens? Do you just sit and wait for 30 years, or do you go out and check? How do you check up on their progress? Is it just, Mr. Buckles, is it just a matter of going out in the woods really and walking it? And what do you look for?
Like I was more or less, I wasn't exactly corrected the other day. We do have other things other than going and checking on disease, controlling fire. It depends on whether you are growing pulpwood or saw timber. You might consider some thinning.
Mm-hmm.
Summer's long after they're 15 to 16 years old. You go in and thin out to the better stands if you're going to make saw timber.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have... Probably fire is your worst hazard that I feel like, that wildfire. I have seen some pretty good ones over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's very destructive. You do have insects
mm-hmm.
that attack your trees at certain times. Mm-hmm. Resistance is low. But you just, well, more or less kind of watch it grow. Not being
you don't
just
have to go
all
through.
You
don't
do.
Have to go through.
You don't have to go back there and hold each one's hand every day. You just.
You mean you don't have to go out there with a little water bucket either?
No,
right?
No. You just have to
nature's
let Mother
water
Nature
bucket.
Take care of
nature's
the water.
Nature's hose. Okay.
Needed to this year.
Yes.
Yeah, what happens in a drought kind of time? Did it just sort of stunt the growth? Would it ever kill off a tree or drought?
You do have some. Real serious drought damage at times.
Hmm.
Surprising that a little seedling is pretty hardy, but there is some things it can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
You can get too much water on them. I've seen water stand on them 3 or 4 weeks at a time. That'll wipe them out too.
Really?
And, so you can either have too little or too much.
What kinds of trees primarily does one grow as a crop? What kind of trees?
Mostly our company grows slash.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
they
these are
beginning
all
to try to get into a little longleaf. If you've got areas that's adapted to longleaf, they're going to try to do a little of that. But mm-hmm. primarily it's slash.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does a day of, say, doing land management really is just, all that really means is just tending to the trees. So, if somebody, say, like doing logging, actually harvesting, is that land management too? Or does that really, would you consider that land management,
What would you think, Don? That was
part of
the...
Yeah, it's part of the whole cycle.
The whole cycle mm-hmm. that would be considered part of your land management.
You know, the whole thing of land management is managing a renewable natural resource,
yeah.
And harvesting is just one aspect of it.
Hmm.
And trees are one of the few... renewable natural resources that there is.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it might be the only one. Would you say so?
I can't think of any others.
Just because we go out there and get the bad day and we've cut it all down and left it, but we do go back and plant it, and a few years is right back again. So
has there been much, say, trouble, like sort of animosities between the growers and land management and the public?
I think you find that in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
In our area, my particular area, you don't have that. But I think there is quite a bit in some areas.
Mr. Maston, where do you work out of?
I work out of Gainesville. But our operating area covers basically South Georgia and practically all of Florida. So as consulting foresters, we have to go manage the land where the land is, and so we're called upon to go really throughout the state of Florida and into Georgia.
Okay.
Sometimes out of that area.
What is the biggest problem in land management?
The biggest problem, I guess, is probably relates to people, and that is trying to manage for the needs of a lot of different conflicting interests. And it's not only in public lands that we have these conflicts these days. It also carries over into the private sector, and that there are lots of people who who have an interest in what goes on in land management and timber production. And so even on private properties, we wind up with conflicts which involve the different interests of people. For example, in many areas now, it's necessary to get a tree removal permit to harvest timber because of various regulations. And we have to manage for interests that sometimes appear to conflict. We have to manage to produce the raw material, but at the same time we have to manage for wildlife and aesthetics and water. And so there's basically the biggest problem, I guess, would revolve around the conflicting interests of different factions of people.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be talking a little bit even about that when we talk about estimating volume of timber. Apparently there are numerous conflicts between various, you know, people with varying purposes. If anybody has any questions that they'd like to ask, this is one of your times to do it. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. Let's go. No, it's fine by me. It's fine by you. I want to just go down the line and to describe a little bit about how you got into doing this kind of work, because it is pretty specialized, but it's also something we don't get to see much of, because really, see you at work, get to see sort of the trees at work, but not the people. How did you get involved in the forest industry? Let's start over with Mr. Maston, and we can work our way down.
Well, I was interested in forestry from the time of childhood, I guess, growing up on a farm and in the woods. And I've got a forestry degree from North Carolina State University, and started working with the Florida Division of Forestry. And after some time working with the state agency, I decided I'd like to be in a private practice, working with whatever that might involve, primarily private forest landowners. So I'm educated to be a forester and trained to be a forester.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mr. McKinney?
I sort of slipped into forestry. I was working with a pulp company. I have a degree in engineering, was working inside the mill, and had an opportunity to get into wood procurement and felt that I would enjoy that. I was raised on a farm and sort of country-oriented, and had an opportunity to get into wood procurement and just sort of spawned out of that. Worked there about 15 years with Procter & Gamble or Buckeye Cellulose, and had an opportunity to start my own business. And we started a timber management business, and the nursery end of that spawned out of it, and we're still growing. We're involved in all facets of land management now.
What about you, Mr. Buckles?
Well, I guess I'm kind of like an animal. I was more or less raised in the woods. Had an opportunity to go to work with a large landowner. And as the years went along, this landowner leased his property to a timber company, and they felt like they needed somebody to stay out there and watch the coons and possums, so they hired me, and sort of, I guess, pleased them all over these years. I've been in it 36 years.
Okay. Now, Mr. Wilson?
Well, I guess unlike some of my other colleagues here, I was considered, at least at the time, to be raised a city boy, and Jacksonville considered to be a large town by most people, although where we lived when I was growing up was rural, and it's all pavement now. But I just developed an early love for the outdoors and hunting and fishing, and this sort of developed I said yesterday, I was thinking about it. It is sort of ironic that through my formal schooling in high school, and I was into music, and everybody, I guess, my family. Have to be careful today. My mom's in the audience.
Oh yeah.
My wife's been making sure I didn't tell any stories the other day. But everybody thought I was going to be in music, and I guess I probably did too. But then I got a chance through a high school counselor. She showed me a brochure on a school in Lake City, and it was called the State Forest Ranger School. And she says, I have something that's right down your alley. And I took one look at it, and I knew.
Really?
That was it. I'm not so sure. My parents were totally pleased with me to turn down some music scholarships and go somewhere and pay to go to school. But
oh well.
Anyhow, then I went on. I worked for a commercial concern in Palatka, which was Hudson Pulp and Paper, now Georgia Pacific, buying timber for 3 years and wood procurement, and then went back to school at the University of Florida and got an education and ended up back at
coming
the
here to
school.
The Florida Folk Festival. There you go. So you can end up finding people. It's interesting because a lot of what we're going to be talking about, some of the people who do their work have been trained in universities to do it, yet it's really a sort of an occupation of experience where it's where you have to you really have to have the hands-on experience in order to do the work. And what we're going to do next is we're going to bring some people on to talk about what do you do with these trees now that we got the land cleared and got the trees planted. So thank you very much, and we'll be back in a minute or two to talk about another part of forest industries. Thank you.
All right.